Andre runs a community nonprofit that does real good. Meals, 3 days a week, an after-school program, a network of volunteers that somehow keep showing up. He knows every family by name. He knows who just got out of work and needs a ride, who has extra time on Tuesday afternoons, which partner organization will say yes if you ask the right person. The whole place runs on what Andre knows and who Andre knows, and what Andre will do if you call him. Last March, Andre's back gave out. Not a pulled muscle. A real problem, flat on the couch for 10 days, can't sit up. And for 10 days, the place he'd spent 6 years building wobbled like a newborn colt. Volunteers who needed direction couldn't find it. Two partner orgs left voicemails. Nobody returned. One meal delivery got missed entirely, and the family it missed called Andre's personal cell because they didn't know who else to call. By day three, Andre was managing the nonprofit from his couch, flat on his back, phone in the air over his head. He knows that's not sustainable. He knows it before his back hurt. He's known it for years, but knowing isn't building. So today, we're going to do the build. Here's the thing about how Andre got here, because it wasn't an accident and it wasn't a character flaw. It happened the way it always happens, slowly and for the best reasons. When you care about something, you learn it deeply. When you learn it deeply, you're the best person to handle it. When you're the best person to handle it, things go better when you're the one doing them. So you do them. And every time things go better when you're in the room, the work trains you a little more to be the center. And then one day, you realize that every important thread in the place runs through you. Not because you grabbed it, but because you're good at this and you care about it and you kept showing up. Andre didn't become the single point of his nonprofit because he was controlling or bad at sharing. He became the single point because he was the most dedicated person there, and the work rewarded him for it by making him more and more necessary. This is the trap that gets the best leaders, the most giving ones. Being needed feels like being valued, and for a while, it is. But there is a moment, and Andre's couch was that moment, when being needed by everyone stops being the thing that makes the work meaningful and becomes the thing that makes the work fragile. The two feel the same from the inside, right up until the day your back gives out. Now, there's advice for Andre, and you've probably heard it. Delegate more. Find an assistant. Work on the business, not in the business. Learn to let go. And none of it is wrong exactly, but watch what it actually does. It tells Andre to hand things off, but it doesn't change the shape of what he's handing off to. He hires someone. That someone calls Andre with questions because Andre still knows more. He tries to delegate a project, but the volunteers call him anyway because he's the one they trust. He brings in a co-director, but the co-director looks to Andre for the final word on anything hard because that's the shape of the place. What he's trying to do is turn one well into two wells side by side. And two wells is better than one well, but it's still a well. The thing that wore Andre out wasn't how much he was giving. It was the shape he was giving in. One center, all threads to one place, nothing flowing between people except through him. You cannot fix a shape by adding more hands to the same shape. You have to build a different one. So let's look at the shape you actually want to build, because it's not complicated once you see it. Right now, Andre is the center. Everything flows through him. The jar, if there is one, lives in his back pocket. He carries it everywhere, and he's the only one with it. A circle, a real one, puts the jar at the center instead of a person. The keeper of the place isn't Andre or you or me. It's the thing you're all trying to do, the mission, the people you serve, the work that matters. And around that center, not one person holding it up, but several. The one who knows the volunteers, the one who handles the partners, the one who steps in when things break, the one who carries the history. Each of them is a real holder, not a helper waiting for direction. They know what they're holding. They have standing to make calls. They connect with each other, not just up to you. And when you're flat on your back for 10 days, the jar stays on the counter. Nobody panics. Nobody calls your cell. Things flow around you, find their way, because the circle has more than one pair of hands. That's the shape. Let's build it. Here's the first move, and it's the one most leaders skip, because it feels slower than just assigning someone and getting on with it. Before you build, you look. You do an honest inventory of the giving that's already happening in your place. Not the official org chart, but the actual network of holding. Who do people already turn to when they need to know how something works? Who has the institutional memory? Meaning, who's been here long enough to know why things are done the way they are, and who you can rely on to tell a new person without you having to? Who quietly trains the new volunteers before you've had time to? Who smooths things over when two team members are rubbing each other wrong? Who notices when someone is about to burn out and says something before it becomes a problem? Andre did this inventory. Took him an afternoon and a big piece of paper. What he found surprised him. His place was full of giving he'd never tracked. A longtime volunteer named Josephine, who everyone went to for the unofficial rules of the place. A young staff member named Marcus, who had figured out three things about the partners that Andre hadn't noticed. A parent named Rosa, who had quietly become the first call for two other families when things got hard. None of them had a title. None of them had been officially asked to carry any of this. They were just carrying it, because that's what givers do. They had been holding the place alongside Andre the whole time. He just hadn't given them standing for it. The second move is the one that actually changes the shape. You go to one of the people you found on your map, and you name them. Not with a form or a title change or a new line on the website. You go to them, and you say it in words they can feel. The conversation with Josephine went something like this. Andre sat down with her after a regular shift, and he said, "I've been thinking about how this place runs, and I've been thinking about how much of it runs because of you. I want to ask you to be a keeper here, not to do more work. You're already doing more than I realized. But to do it openly, with standing, with my name behind it. When things are uncertain and I'm not here, I want people to know you're a person they can go to. I want you to know that too. That's it. No bonus, no promotion, just the truth out loud and the standing that goes with it. Here's what that gives Josephine that she didn't have before. She had the knowledge. She had the trust of the people. What she didn't have was the standing to act on it without looking over her shoulder or waiting for permission from Andre. When Andre named her, he gave her permission to be what she already was. And he gave the place permission to lean on her, which is a different thing. Naming a keeper is a gift. It's one of the truest gifts a leader has to give. I see what you carry, and I'm asking you to carry it with standing. Right here is where I want to take the skeptics seriously, because there are two objections that feel very different, but come from the same place, and I don't want to wave either one away. The first is about control. If I name Josephine as a keeper and give her standing to make calls, what happens when she makes a call I wouldn't have made? What happens when she tells a volunteer something I would have handled differently? That's a real question, and the honest answer is, yes, that will happen. You will sometimes not be the one who decides, and things will sometimes go a little differently than if you'd been there. But here's the thing you're trading against. Right now, when you're not there, Things don't go differently, they just stop. A version of the work that runs differently when you're gone is infinitely better than a version that breaks when you're gone. You're not losing control. You're choosing resilience over dependency, and that is a leadership decision, not a surrender. The second objection is about trust. What if I name someone, give them standing, and they use it for their own ends? What if the keeper I name isn't actually a keeper? They're just someone who wanted more power. This is the real danger. And the answer is not to watch people more closely or test them before trusting them, which would make the whole thing hollow. The answer is that you do the inventory first. You name the people who are already giving without being asked, already showing up, already carrying something without a reward attached to it. The inventory is your filter. You're not guessing at character. You're recognizing it where it's been demonstrating itself for months or years already. So you've done the inventory. You've named a keeper, maybe two, maybe three. Now comes the step that's hardest for givers like Andre, and I want to spend some real time here because the naming is the easy part compared to this. You spread the holding across those people, and then you actually let them have it. Not let them handle things while I keep an eye from a distance. Actually let go. The place where leaders flinch is right here, and the reason they flinch is honest. Being needed feels like being valued. Letting go of the holding feels, from the inside, like letting go of your role. Like stepping back from the thing you built. Like maybe, if you're not the one holding all of this, you're not as essential as you were, and maybe that means something about your worth here. That feeling is real. I'm not going to tell you it isn't. But here's what it's actually true of. It was always about the people, not about you being the one holding them up. The most generous thing you can do for the people you serve is build something that holds them even on the day you can't. And you cannot do that without handing the holding over to other hands for real. When Andre finally did this, not as a test, not as an experiment with a hidden safety net, but for real, something happened that surprised him. Josephine took the volunteer briefings and made them better. Marcus cleaned up three partner relationships that had been messy for 2 years. Rosa started a little informal thing with the families that Andre never would have thought of. The place didn't just hold when Andre couldn't. It got better. That's what happens when you stop being the only one holding, you stop being the ceiling. Here's what Andre built, and it's worth being clear about, because it's a bigger thing than better delegation or crisis resilience. He built a circle where everyone in it is needed, not just helped, not just managed, not just recipients of his good work. Needed. Josephine is needed. Marcus is needed. Rosa is needed. And here's why that matters more than the practical backup plan piece of it. Being needed is one of the quiet, deep hungers in every person. The well shape, the one center shape, fed the families Andre served. But the circle he built feeds everyone in it. His people have standing. They have something real to give. They can see their own contribution woven into how the place runs. That is not a small thing. Research on what makes groups of people stay together over time. What makes them stick points consistently to a few things. People need to feel like they matter to what the group is doing and like the group matters back to them. Not entertained, not managed, not kept comfortable, needed. The circle satisfies that in a way that a one-center well cannot, because in the well, only one person really matters, the center, and everyone else is on the receiving end. You cannot stay in something indefinitely if your only role is to receive. You need to give. The circle makes that possible for everyone. Let me bring in something worth knowing here, kept short. When researchers study what makes groups of people hold together over time, especially groups doing hard or meaningful work, They don't find that it's the charisma of the leader or the size of the paycheck that keeps people. They find something simpler. People stay and give their best when they believe their contribution actually matters to the group's work, and when they feel the group cares back, that their well-being and growth are part of the point, not just their output. The research on this goes back decades and shows up across very different kinds of groups: community orgs, long-running work teams, civic groups, religious communities. The finding is consistent enough that it shows up across cultures and across sizes. And when you map that finding onto what Andre built, it fits perfectly. His keepers don't just have a job, they have standing. They know their contribution is woven in. They know Andre sees them. That's not an accident of his personality, it's a feature of the shape he built. The circle creates those conditions. The well cannot. All right, let's bring this home to you, because none of this means anything as long as it's a story about Andre. I want to ask you three honest questions, and I want you to actually pause on them, not just let them scroll by. First, where in your work are you the single center? Where are you, the one person that every important thread runs through, the one without whom things would wobble or stop? Be honest. It might be your whole org, or it might be one piece of it, one relationship, one function. Second, if you did the inventory tomorrow, the real one, the big piece of paper, who would show up? Who is already holding something in your place without a title for it? Who has been carrying a piece of your circle all along without you naming it? Sit with that. Their face will probably show up quickly if you give it a minute. And third, and this is the one that tells you the most about yourself as a leader, when you imagine naming one of those people, actually doing it, giving them standing, handing them a real piece of the holding, what's the feeling that comes up? Relief? Good. That's the circle calling. Fear of losing control? That's worth looking at. It's probably the well talking. And if you feel a quiet excitement that the place might get better, better than you could make it alone, hold on to that. That's what Andre felt when Josephine's briefings got better. That's what a built circle feels like from the inside. So here's your one move this week, and it is a give, not an assignment or a test or a task to add to your list. Look at the people in your work, your org, your team, your circle, whatever you call it. Find the one who is already holding something real. Not the loudest person, not the one with the most ambition, but the one who quietly carries a piece of things because they care about what the place is for. Then go to them. Not an email, not a mention in a meeting. Go to them and say it in words they can feel. Tell them what you've seen them carry. Ask them to carry it with standing, openly, with your name behind it. Hand them one thing that has been yours and is now theirs, for real, not on loan. That is the give this week. You're giving someone standing. You're giving them the thing every person in good work hungers for, the knowledge that what they already give is seen, valued, and needed. And you're giving your own place something it needs, a circle with more than one pair of hands on it. The thing you build this week doesn't take more of your time. It doesn't cost anything. It asks only one hard thing from you, the willingness to stop being the only one holding and to trust that the place you built can be carried by more than you. That is a very generous thing to believe about the people you work with. So that's the build. Not a management framework, not a leadership certification. Three moves: look at what's already there, name a keeper out loud, spread the holding, and let go for real. Andre's place runs differently now. Josephine holds the volunteer side. Marcus holds the partners. Rosa holds the families in a way that even Andre couldn't. And when Andre's back gives out next time, because it will, the jar stays on the counter. Nobody panics. the circle holds. That's the most generous thing a leader can build, not a place that needs them forever, but a place that holds the people they serve, even on the day the leader can't. Take that with you. Name your keeper this week. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you in the next one.